Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Breaking news in the States overnight. What should have been a festive day out for the local community turned deadly when a driver slammed into a parade, killing and injuring adults and children. We cross live now to New York City to our US correspondent, Rebecca O'Neill. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jen. Good to be here with you.
Oh, this news. I have a clip to kick off and then we'll get into the details of it. Here's what local police chief Daniel Thompson had to say about the events. Let's take a listen to this.
We do have a person of interest in custody at the moment, but this is still a very fluid investigation. I was present at this tragic event and saw firsthand the resiliency of the community coming together.
You can hear it in his voice, obviously distraught there. But what's the latest on this story?
Absolutely. So very tragic scenes there, Jen. So it was supposed to be, you know, the 58th Christmas parade. Mm. Like you said, a time of great joy, an annual event. It was their first time back after the pandemic. You know, everyone out to support, record numbers, say more than 60 entries. The theme this year, comfort and joy. Alas, just before 4:40, right, the driver of a red SUV stormed past barricades, barreled through the crowd, striking dozens. So at the minute, and like you said, this is a breaking story, it's developing, things are coming out all the time. It only happened a few hours ago. At least 5 people at this point have been killed and 40 people were injured. You know, the numbers could change, but this is children as well. You know, at the minute, terrorism has been ruled out. Now, the FBI and the White House are monitoring it, right? They've been involved, but the local investigations are still leading it, which, you know, would kind of denote that. And also, really, I suppose, what's been coming out more and more is just the awful scenes that emerged. You know, obviously, at something like this, everyone's out there, you know, to support their kids. You know, there's politicians, there's local marching bands, groups. We've all been at those lovely kind of local St. Patrick's Day parades or parish parades, you know. So there's lots of footage, lots of evidence. And like the chief said there, they do have a suspect, you know, and they're just really trying to piece it all together.
Okay, just tragic story. We'll keep an eye on that. Now, there was lots of unrest stateside over the weekend following the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, and some turned violent. Can you remind everyone what this trial was all about?
Absolutely, Jane. Yes, so many protests right across the country. It's kind of been on tenterhooks. And again, with that incident last night, both taking place in Minnesota. So really a lot, yeah. You know, just so much going on there for the people in that state. So basically, the jury had cleared Kyle Rittenhouse, right, of all criminal charges for fatally shooting 2 people and injuring a third. This was last year, right, during the summer of 2020. And this was during the mass protests in Wisconsin at the time in Kenosha against police violence. But the trial here, right, has caused even just so much more division. The country's already so divided. But, you know, it's going back to those good old really American core values, gun rights, violence, trying to figure out the, you know, the racial approach. So this was at a racial justice protest. So basically he armed himself, he was 17 at the time, Kyle Rittenhouse, with an AR-15 style rifle. It was a night of unrest in Kenosha. He didn't even live in Kenosha. He lived in the neighboring state of Illinois. And the protests were sparked by the police shooting of Jacob Blake, who was a 29-year-old black man. He was left paralyzed after an encounter with a white officer. Now, Rittenhouse, he came out and said that he intended to act as a medic and help protect private property. So he came over to the other state to do this. But that night, it was just chaos, right? It spiraled completely out of control. You know, there was all these encounters with protesters. Again, lots of photographs, videos to document it. Essentially, Rittenhouse shot and killed a 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum, a 26-year-old Anthony Huber, and he injured another 26-year-old. So during the trial, you know, he said he feared for his life in all these cases, that Rosenbaum had chased him, was grabbing for his rifle. So really, this high-profile case, it's kind of, everyone's divided. Is this guy Rittenhouse a patriot, taking a stand against lawlessness during all this violence and racial tension? Or is he just a dangerously reckless vigilante? So like you said, I mean, protests right across. We had ones that turned violent in Portland, Oregon. We had lots of protests here in Brooklyn, in New York. The Manhattan bound lanes, the Brooklyn Bridge were shut down. You know, lots of people really not happy with this acquittal.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear right now that this verdict will see the dawn of a vigilante era. Former Obama advisor Van Jones had this stark warning on CNN. I have a clip. Let's take a listen.
But we've got a pattern now where white men feel that they have the right to enforce the law themselves. When you look at Ahmaud Arbery, when you look at this case, when you look at Trayvon Martin, when you look at the white mob that attacked the Capitol, that somehow there is a group of people that think that they have the right to take the law into their own hands. You don't see other groups going out with guns imposing their vision of the law on other people, but this group continues to.
Continues to and gets away with it. Carl Rittenhouse has spoken out. We have a clip of what he said in a Fox News documentary. It's due to air there tonight. Here's what he had to say for himself. Have a listen to this.
The jury reached the correct verdict. Self-defense is not illegal. And I believe they came to the correct verdict, and I'm glad that everything went well. And it's been a rough journey, but we made it through it. We made it through the hard part.
There we go. That was Kyle Rittenhouse speaking about the verdict. So what's the mood of the people? You said it's very 50-50 of the verdict. What are people saying about this?
Yeah, well, look, again, so this all kicked off on Friday when the verdict came in, but it's just been such a difficult time. And when we heard from Van Jones there, he's constantly kind of campaigning and trying to bring the plight, I suppose, of what black and brown people are really suffering through here when they're seeing all these, you know, injustices. I mean, like he mentioned there, all these black men, especially, who are behind bars for minor offences. You know, there's been so many cases. You can literally talk about it for days. Yet, you know, this young white man can go in there to another state and cause this absolute chaos, killing people, and get off scot-free. So obviously, there's just so much hurt, upset, just real kind of, I suppose, disbelief at what's going on. And then, of course, like you mentioned there, that big documentary tonight. So this is a Tucker Carlson production. Tucker Carlson is a controversial Fox News host. He's their biggest star. He's just actually earlier had two high profile of his own contributors quit because of his outrageous documentary. So he just released one there about the January 6th riot. I mean, the left are accusing him of, you know, promoting white supremacy. This documentary, they've been releasing a few clips. It's going to air tonight at 8. But it's quite obvious from the clips to see that it's not unbiased. It's very much on the side of Kyle Rittenhouse. And really, the right are so excited about this and really wanting to make this young man a star and to be, you know, the new face of gun rights and, you know, and just...
The spin is scary. The spin they have on this is frightening, isn't it? Like, it is, making absolutely. Him a poster boy for gun rights. Let's talk about President Biden, because President Biden turned 79 this weekend, but with his hospital visit and plummeting polls, there wasn't much cause for celebration for Joe, was there?
No, there wasn't, Jen. And look, he had a busy final day as a 78-year-old. So, of course, he's the first president to hit this age in office. So he spent his birthday in his home, Wilmington, in Delaware. But the physical, they found him to be in overall good health. So that was some good news that Friday. Then he was pardoning two gobbling Indiana turkeys, peanut butter and jelly. So this is normally a fun ceremony. You know, it's an old tradition that the president would kind of get to joke around and have a bit of a laugh. But he's not really, you know, his polling numbers are just at an all-time low. They're hovering around the 30s. He just can't seem to catch a break. You know, he's been pushing and pushing and finally got this, you know, really big legislation, trillions of over $2 trillion legislation passed for infrastructure. But yet he just can't seem to get a break. You know, there's so many issues here. I know you were speaking about the Christmas trees, like what is next? But, as you know, the same kind of situations here, no more than all the world, with the issues at the port and the supply chains. And, oh, is Biden going to save Christmas? You know, it's just been a difficult time for his administration to kind of get, you know, get a break in the news. was after the summer and everything. So yeah, I don't think he would have been celebrating too
Rebecca,
much
he's
at
a man
all.
He's a man of experience, but in your opinion, is he just too old?
I mean, that's at the minute, that's really, you know, that's really what is being thrown at him. And again, you know, I mentioned the infrastructure bill there greatly. A lot of what he ran on was this bipartisan, or, you know, let's all work together. I have the experience, you know, he'd be joking saying, I've been in the Senate for 300 years. I know how this works.
Yeah.
But, you know, him trying to pass the legislation and him trying to get things done that he ran on, you know, he got a lot of support with younger voters saying he was going to cancel their debt. Sure, it's outrageous here. But young people are paying to go to college. I mean, they're paying hundreds of dollars every year and they're paying it for 20 years, the average, you know, it's outrageous. But that's kind of gone quiet, you know. So a lot of the things, it's been a lot more of a struggle. And again, you know, it's not his fault. They have such a slim majority. But if you've run on that, then people expect you to carry it through.
Yeah.
So he's really, you know, he's struggling. A lot of flack.
He's struggling. He's getting a lot of flack. Somebody who isn't struggling, what's this all about? Matthew McConaughey topping the polls for Texas governor. Could this actually happen?
I know, he'd get my vote. I mean, the last time we spoke about Texas was Senator Ted Cruz picking a fight with the Muppet Big Bird, right?
Yeah.
So anything goes in Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, even the political stories. But this is just a poll out this morning. And, you know, I suppose, look at the governor. Look at Arnie. You know, he got the governorship. And it just goes to show how important recognition is, you know. And people love a good celebrity. I mean, look at the history of presidents here. So, yeah, he's top of the polls by over 40%. You know, he's a local. He lives in Austin. He's teaser run for governor for months. So he literally has. Now, he hasn't said whether he'd make one as a Republican or a Democrat. You know, he keeps his political views close to his chest, which will actually be interesting to see, like, who he'd run for. Would he go off on his own? But, yeah, he's definitely, you know, putting out the signals there that this is something that he'd be interested in, and the people are loving it.
Absolutely. He'll definitely be the hottest one. Rebecca O'Neill, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. We'll talk to you soon and we'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.